York you came from?
Shoot.
All right. And what year?
Came in here, yes. Or left Russia?
Yes. What year you came to America?
In 1922.
And what year did you come to Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh in June 1922.
All right. Your age, if you don't mind.
66. Don't mind a bit.
You're so young. All right. Fine. Now, what part of Russia did you come from?
They call it Podolia Gubernia.
Podolia.
Yeah. Gubernia means like a state.
Yes. Yeah. Now, did you live in a small town?
Small town.
Like a shtetl?
Shtetl, yeah. That's what we call a shtetl.
All right. Do you remember the name of the little town?
Yeah. Tomashpol. T-O-M-O-S-H-P-E-L. Tomashpol.
Tomashpol. What kind of a house did you live in?
Well, it was kind of famous.
Little
three rooms, you were four, five people. Well, maybe years ago before I started going up, we had six people, but two of my brothers went in this tent a long time ago.
I see. Well, then who actually lived in the house before you came to America, brothers and sisters?
We had myself, another brother, my father and mother, older than I am.
Yeah, and any sisters?
No, never had any. Four brothers and no sisters.
All right, and the two other brothers?
Two other brothers went to this country by 1910, they left.
I see. That makes four boys altogether.
Four boys altogether, right. Yeah.
How long did you live in this house?
Since I remember, I was born.
Okay. Do you remember anything in particular about it?
But a house?
Yeah.
Well, small house, no wooden floor. You used to have that,
dirt?
Yeah, like plaster. Once a week, my mother used to with yellow stuff.
Like whitewash it?
Yeah. No floor, and this I remember very good.
How old were you when you came over? You were too young to have worked in Europe, weren't you?
Well, I worked, yeah.
What did you do?
I started working since I was 14 years of age. I was working in a grocery store.
And you sort of like a clerk?
A clerk, yeah, helping.
Right, at this point, this is where we left off. All right. Did you support yourself, or were you just helping
with
the income?
I was helping with the income because my father was a small provider.
What did he do?
He was a Hebrew teacher. Mm-hmm. Malamed. Children came into the house from 7 o'clock in the house, and they were learning Hebrew. And
I see. So you helped out by working in the
garden. Yeah.
So together, do you think you made a fairly
fair
income?
We made fair income because my mother was helping too. She used to go out and buy up pigs and chickens and then sell them to the... She used to go on a little country like...
She sold sort of farm.
Yeah, farm product, yeah.
So that helped.
That helped, and also we had some help from the United States. I have two brothers who used to send in a little bit,
I would say
every couple of months, American dollars, and just provide that.
What language did you speak at home?
Yiddish.
All right. What was your education?
My education is very little. In Russian, I didn't have much education. The only education I had is where I went to my father in Hebrew, and after I started working for 14 years, I used to go to class in the evening for a little bit more Yiddish, and Hebrew I didn't learn too much.
You learned Yiddish?
Yiddish, yeah.
Yiddish and Hebrew in the evening.
Yeah.
Now, did you have any formal public education?
No.
None whatsoever?
Formal, no.
What was the synagogue?
Excuse me, what's that? Yeah, but formal, she means like going in a...
You learned at home, perhaps.
Home, yeah.
But you had no, I'm talking about schooling.
No, I didn't go to no Russian school. This was a little Russian is home from people or maybe... I didn't have no class in Russian. No, just learn Russian, writing and reading, I believe, from other people.
Right.
Formal, I didn't know.
Okay. Well, what can you tell me about the synagogue in little town?
A little town about synagogue? I remember it very well. We used to go, I had to go with my father every morning to synagogue. Friday was a big day. Friday we came when everybody got down around 12 o'clock, and Friday night we went to the big synagogue.
Do you remember what it looked like?
Well, I would say it looked like more modern, like any ordinary home, but it was like a big home.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a certain, we used to call it a besmedrish, which just means the house of worship was the biggest in our little town. We didn't belong there, but as the boy said, I want to see something, a candle or somebody.
That's where you went.
That's where I used to go, yeah. With permission, finally, from my father.
Normally you went to the
synagogue. Which,
did you have your own rabbi there?
We had a rabbi, and my father was a kinder and saying prayers.
Was the chazan?
Was before the chazan, before the main chazan, my father always conducting the services.
Tell me about the relationship with the Gentiles in the community.
Well, the relationship was very good. For a fact, we were living not far away from the Gentile people. And our street, I remember, was mostly Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
They used to call it the butcher's, well, in the Yiddish, they used to call it the Katzif street, because all the butchers were living in that street.
Would you say you got along well with the Gentiles?
Very well, yeah. Because not far from us were Gentile people, and we get along very good.
All right. Did you belong to any political organization in Russia?
No.
The Zionist, Bund,
no.
Socialist, Labor Union?
I am not.
But your father?
No, I don't remember.
And what about, I asked you about the relationship of your Gentiles to you Jews. What about the relationship of your government, the head of Russia, to you Jews? What was it like?
Well, it's a long story. The relationship with the Russian, up to 1920, when the revolution started, was the relationship, the way I understand it, I was a child yet, wasn't very good. We didn't have the right to do anything we want to do. We didn't have the right to send our children to the
schools.
But when I started growing up, and I started understanding a little, and when the revolution was, I think it was more freely.
I think so.
Yeah.
Less programs?
Less. Well, programs was in 1921, in our town was many programs. Programs, yeah. But when the only program started when the Bolshevik, the communists started coming in.
But generally it wasn't that great.
Wasn't great, no. Especially in the big cities was awful. And in our town, we had, if you want to talk about it, we had plenty, every other day we had a different government. We had the Polish, then we had bandits coming in to call themselves the Kluger, the Nikin. But every other day was something nice.
This was hard on
and
the
our
Jewish
dad
people.
Was mostly all Jewish people was killed in any other day. I remember one Friday we had 14 Jewish people killed. A band came in with horses. And they start coming in the houses.
Well, you never knew where you were going
to be. You never knew, no, never knew.
All right, now tell me something. You had brothers in America.
Yeah.
What did you think of America at this time, especially since you had brothers who could write to you about it?
We only had hopes as soon as possible to go out from there and come to America.
What did they tell you about America?
They didn't give us any, like people used to say, they're picking up money in the streets.
Yeah, I've heard that
before. Yeah. But they told us they're making nice there, and it's going on struggling. There's like my oldest brother, he came here in 1908 or 1910. He told us it's hard to make a living, but as time marches on, I heard it getting better and better.
It was better.
Hoping, it was all, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, why did you actually leave Russia?
Why? First reason is because we had two brothers, and then in 1918, another brother. So we had three brothers.
Well, then why did they come?
Why they come? First of all, they come. One ran away from the Russian army. The other one was supposed to go, and being he had one brother here, he took him out there.
In other words, one brother started.
Started, yeah, right.
Well, in other words, you wanted to come to America not only to, you wanted to leave Russia not only because your brothers
no,
were here.
No, another reason.
Yes.
Other reason I left Russia in 1921 when the Bolsheviks came in to in our country, and our town, they say, they start organizing young boys, anybody, for work for them. And as I was a young boy, 19 years old, or 19 or 19 years old, they organized us, and they gave me some kind of work, which I was never fit to do it. I was supposed to be like here in the FBI, just going around between people, merchants, and see if they're speculating. Yeah. Not inspector, like the FBI in here. Mm-hmm. Just to listen what's going on. And I had an uncle in my town, yet same age boys as my other four boys. One, the oldest one, was complete big shot with the Bolsheviks, a commissar they called him in Europe. Even for him, he couldn't talk about that because he would turn you into the...
Yeah.
All
right, now...
So this made another reason why you left there. And my mother...
Escape the Bolsheviks and escape your involvement.
That's right, yeah.
Well, you chose the United States, you told me, because of your brothers.
Right.
Now, why did they choose America?
Why? Because there wasn't that time another place to go to. They heard, as nobody bothers here, it's a free country, they can come to something, and it's the truth.
When you left for Europe, did you know where you were coming? Did you know you were coming? Did you have a definite destination?
Oh, yeah.
Where was that?
We knew we'd come to Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Because I had here.
You came directly.
I came, yeah. Well, we came to New York. New York was on the second day, we came to Pittsburgh.
I see. Why did you pick Pittsburgh? Or your brothers were here, so why did they
pick? One drags the other. They choose Pittsburgh because my oldest brother went with a girl in home, and I believe her father came here to Pittsburgh. Was in Pittsburgh.
Because it's interesting why they chose this,
yeah,
this
well,
city, which wasn't the most exciting
one,
city of all.
One thing drove the other thing. He came to Pittsburgh because he heard his girlfriend Jenny or Mike or Pete, her father is in Pittsburgh. Well, we'll try in Pittsburgh.
In other words, one person could help all the others.
That's right.
All right,
yeah.
Now, was there another reason?
No, I don't think there was another reason. The other reason was, when he did came to Pittsburgh, he heard as Pittsburgh you can make a living a little better in a bigger town. Paddling around at that time, you know, years ago, 50, 60 years ago, paddling or something.
Yes.
So you choose that's right. The only thing I heard and I understand, you choose Pittsburgh because as acquainted with somebody else, they know somebody and their friends was here and they thought they could make a better living here.
Rather than a big city like New York. All right. When you came to America, were you part of a group traveling together?
Leaving our town?
Yes.
Or North town, you just...
Well, leaving from say, your main port.
Main port, we were a group, yeah. Yeah.
What kind of a group?
It's a long story. When we came from our town, we already ran away close to the Romanian border.
Uh-huh.
We came there, we find a group. Every day they had 12 to 15 people in the night time to run over that river that runs the river from the Romanian border to the Russian border, call them the Nestor.
The Nestor River.
Yeah, the Nestor. And that's what I call a group, because they had it locked up in a house for a certain night, midnight, when it's going to be a nice quiet night. And this was all paid direct to the Romanian border. They should look away and have us people run over that. We paid.
In other words, you had your own little system when you sort of like word of mouth.
When we start going to this country, we are prepared, my borders prepare some money. It used to be a yas. They sent the money to the yas, they should bring us.
What's a yas?
To help our Jewish people to come over and...
I see.
And there was some way I ran with a person, they call himself a contraband. I don't know, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
sure. Okay. This person had a few other people working with him, and you give him a certain amount of money for each person to bring them over from this border to the other border.
So you were sort of a band of would-be immigrants.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
All right. So that you sort of, what port did you sail from?
Markatan, we are go over to Romania.
Yes, and you, I assume you walked or took a what?
No, we are go with a canoe. It took us over in a canoe.
Oh, I didn't mean you walked on the river. I meant from your town to the border. How did you get
from the town to the border? And also as a story, from the town, I couldn't leave the town with my own will, because they always want to know why you're leaving your town.
Mm-hmm.
So we are there, that permit, and we go into a wedding to a small little town, Zagivka. My mother was born that time. And from there, it's not very far to the Romanian border.
And you canoed across the...
We canoed, yeah.
And then how did you get to the port?
Oh, it's a long story. Do you have time for it?
No, I don't think you do.
Well, we came to that little town Zagivka. We are stayed there about a couple of weeks to wait for a certain time till the people, the contraband, is ready to shoot us over on the other side. So every day we used to go in daytime, just like rats come and ask, excuse me, from the... and look around and hear what's going on. We're still on the Russian side.
Yes.
But we will have to be careful what we're doing in that town, because we didn't belong in that town.
Right, so you were more or less in hiding.
We came in that town as a permit from my town, and I'm going to a wedding.
Right. All right, so you had to get from this, when you all got together and the time was safe.
Time was safe.
You had to get to a port.
We were sitting in our house, I remember like today, it was 40-some years ago. And the fellow was supposed to take us over three in a canoe. There were 12 people in that house come together on a certain night, and he was take us over three people in a canoe, and the fellow ran in the canoe. It was a raining night, and he didn't want to take all our four, like my mother and myself and my father, three rather, at one time. Divide us. Like I went in one canoe with another person. My mother was the first one to go over that canoe with another person. We didn't know what happened. We took her over on the other side. There's two canoes going at one time. Two fellows were. Four trips they made. We were disturbing, shooting. But we were told as it wouldn't happen nothing, because this soldiers, which are staying the other side of Romania, are getting paid from this person to look away and let us in there. We took my mother out, and then they come back. They took another so on. Then we came over on the other side. He was kind of separated. I didn't know where my mother is at. I didn't know where my father is at. But they told us, and around the dawn in the morning, we'll all get together, and they try to get us over the nearest town, they call it the Sorokin in Romania. Meantime, when I took my mother over, she was captured by Romanian soldiers. We didn't know it. They took her away, And they put her back on in a canoe, they shipped her back to our town, to the little towns of Egypt. Without any help, without any, and just with God's will, she came safe. Of course, the long story, she got sick later on.
All right, well, let's just work with concerning what happened to you.
To me, when I came over on the other side, they told me, as my father is not certain, that we couldn't be together, not in a field. But, and later on, it gets a little light, they'll combine us together, and they'll smuggle over in the little town in Romania. My father, they brought him to me, and they told him, we can't bring his body in one time to the town. So they put my father on in a, in a wagon with A, and acting like he's a Romanian person, they took him into town. Well, they did take him down, and Romanian soldiers find him, and they capture him, and they took him in the office, and I don't know what you call it, for questioning. I didn't know that. Later in a half an hour, they came with a horse. Also, that contraband is getting paid. And they took me in, and I should ride in the horse with a young fella, so I wouldn't show up as a greenhorn that come from Russia. Take me in there. When I come to Soroka, in the Romanian town, then words came, as my father is in the government's hand, and they won 200, oh, I forgot the amount of money, I believe it was equal to $100 American to pay, I should let him out. Well, money was no object. We had money there. We had money laying there in a Jewish community office for our support. They sent us over here. But they thought everything would go right. That whole trip would take maybe 4 to 6 weeks. It took us over a year, that trip.
The whole trip.
The whole trip took us a year time.
All right, now to make this a little bit shorter.
Yeah, okay.
How long before you finally got to the port?
To what port?
What port did you get?
I went to Belgium, Antwerp, in Belgium.
You sailed from Antwerp.
Yeah.
And you got there without your parents?
No. We get combined together. We didn't go to the port till my parents were all together.
Right, so give me just a clue as to how long that was.
It took 4 months for my mother come back from our town back to Romania. Because again, money, same acting again with contraband. And my mother took sick in the other side in Russian. And then finally took about 4 months for she come back.
In other words, in 4 months you were reunited.
Reunited.
Now how did you get to Antwerp? What means of transportation?
Well, in Antwerp, we visit our relatives in a certain town in Romania, and we didn't have the necessary papers to go back right away to America. We stole, from the 4 months we got reunited again, it took another 7 months till we get together. My father was sick, my mother was sick in Romania. It took us 11 months altogether till we come to the port. To the port going is by train, mostly.
All right. And do you remember what kind of ship you took?
Finland.
Finland? Or Finland?
Mm. I forgot for a while the ship, but it came to my mind not long ago as I arrived with the boat Finland.
And what country was it from?
Belgium.
It's a Belgian ship.
Belgian ship, yeah.
Who met you in America?
It's a story
you
too.
You landed in New York.
I landed in Ellis Island, New York.
Yeah.
My oldest brother was supposed to come to take us off in Ellis Island, which he was 1 day late. And he was sitting there, and nobody come to take us off. So they find out as I have an uncle, my father's brother, was living in New York in the Bronx. And they phoned him, and he came and took us out.
What did he do?
He took us to his house.
I see.
To New York.
So it's uncle.
Uncle, yeah.
All right. What did you bring with you?
With me, we didn't have nothing. My father's...
passport?
No. My father said tallest and twill, and that's all he had with him. Which is governing, that's all he had with us. We didn't have nothing. Of course, we got some stuff as a Romanian. Now we got a little bit of money in Romania. We bought some modern stuff, clothes to wear. But as living Russian, we didn't have nothing.
Just the clothes that you bought, and you expected to come over immediately. You didn't expect
We expected to come over. So we didn't. But as we stood there in Romania, for months, so we bought clothes there, and we got a little bit
more.
But
you weren't able to bring any household
Nothing at all. Everything was left there. Everything was sold there.
Tell me, did your name change?
No.
Was Budman?
Budman in the old country and Budman in the
All right. What impressed you about America?
What impressed me?
First impression
is it's a free country. I only was a week in this country, and I started working between people, and I was treated like a human being.
Wonderful. What about Pittsburgh? What particularly impressed you about
Pittsburgh? I love it very much. I went in and I planned to work, which I was working there for 43 years, and the people was nice to me, same thing. I worked with color people, 50% color people.
Anything about the city itself that impressed you?
Well, the city itself, it wasn't something people just talking about. It's a city, but to me it was like a gold mine, because I came from a little town which I didn't see any better.
I see. What about your first day in Pittsburgh?
That was like the biggest holiday in my life. When I came the first day in Pittsburgh, I found three brothers here. One brother was only 2 months married. He came from the war. He was in French for a long time. And I met his wife. It was very nice. And they had for us a house rented right away. We went in, my father and I, in our home up in the hill. So it was for me like
that. I'm going to ask you about that.
Is this on?
Yes, it's wonderful. Oh, it's been so great. What, your brothers met you in Pittsburgh, I assume, didn't they?
Yeah.
All right. Do you remember anything else you did that first day?
The first day when I come over from New York here was, like a holiday. My new sister-in-law, my oldest brother's wife, I know from the old country. And this is the other brother's wife was an American girl here, which I never met her until us, was like a holiday, my mother. And
remember anything you did? You were met? What kind of day?
Well, the first day we had, when we came over here, I believe the train came in, the pizza came in the afternoon. In the evening we had a big feast, a big supper, you know, my sister prepared for us. And I believe the second day was the end of June. No, the third day, my sister-in-law took me in town and bought me clothes. That's the biggest joy in my life at that time.
American clothes.
American clothes. My oldest sister-in-law took my mother in a lady's shop, and my youngest took me in Kaufman's. I believe it was my first suit I bought in Kaufman's.
Good brothers, I must say. Tell me about, was there anything that disappointed you about life in America after doing those first, say, your first 5 years in Pittsburgh or...
No.
Anything disappointed you?
No. Well, disappointed maybe with housing, that we didn't have the proper housing. I was a small provider in the first time, but I was happy all the time. We were happy.
Okay. Did you ever feel that you were treated unjustly because you were an immigrant?
No. No, I never find this.
All right.
No.
Now, after you'd lived here for 5 years, do you think you'd accomplished the goal in coming here?
Oh, yeah.
After 5 years.
I got married in 4 years' time. After I was here, I accomplished something. And in 5 years' time, a year after my marriage, I had my first son. So my work was going on good. I didn't change no job.
That was the point. You had come here so that you could better yourself. And did you feel that in those 5 years that, you know, that you could be freer? And did you feel that after 5 years that you had really accomplished that?
Yeah, I believe I did. I felt like I'm working for a living, because it was a hard living. I didn't expect to get rich soon, but I wasn't sorry I came here.
Okay. Now you can tell me about that first home. Your brother rented you a house, did you say?
Yeah.
Where was it?
Trent Street.
Trent?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Where I'm living there.
Where is that, in the hill?
Hill, yeah.
Okay. Well, what was it, a house or an apartment?
No, house. It was a... three floors, I believe. You were living downstairs in four rooms.
Uh-huh. Oh, you lived in the first floor?
Yeah.
In four rooms. And what was it like, remember?
Yeah, it was nice.
Well, you said before you were a bit disappointed in the housing. Was it?
Or was it pointing in the us? And after I got mad, we moved around and we didn't have the right place.
But before this,
we were like a nice apartment. It was much nicer than the old country with wooden
nicer
floors.
Than?
Oh yeah, the drapes and plumbing and lavatories. And
how long did you live there?
4 years.
You lived in that same place four
same
years?
Same place 4 years. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what was the first kind of work you did when you came to Pittsburgh?
The first kind of work I went in and I done, they call it egg handling. You know what it is?
Certainly.
This means you understand a lot. It was because my oldest brother was a foreman in armoring company.
Oh.
And he took me in there and they gave me the chance and I was working there for armoring company. So, still till 1966, I was still working armoring.
Remember how much you earned?
Yeah, $22.50 a week.
All right, what were the hours?
The hours was long. The hours was from 7 in the morning to about 5, 6 at night. There was no union that time, was no organized labor.
You have to work on Saturdays and Jewish holidays?
No, in Jewish holidays they give me off.
What about Saturdays?
Saturdays. I gotta go on for half a day, yeah. In the beginning, then I started.
How long did you stay at this work?
An hour.
Oh, you stayed at the company, but you didn't stay at that work, right?
No, that work I didn't stay at, no.
Did you
work,
move along in the company?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I moved around, they made me as supervisor in the coolers and the...